You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast, episode 588.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello to the mayor of Chickentown.
Hello.
Felicity's here filling in. Cornflake's not here. Cornflake's on vacation.
We all need a vacation now and then.
Cornflake cannot get far enough away from Chickentown, believe me. Now, Cornflake's off relaxing somewhere, which is nice. So,
I hope a hammock is involved.
I'm guessing that it very much is, if I know Cornflake. But yeah, we're kind of pressed for time this week anyway, so we said, okay, Cornflake, take the week off. We'll hold down the fort here in Chickentown, and the mayor is going to fill in, and we're going to try to make this really, really short.
We'll try.
No time this week, but we are indeed going to celebrate 1988, because this is our 80s shows, you know, 580 through 589. We're almost there.
Yeah, just one more week after this.
Next week, we're going to wrap this thing up. I've got some unfinished business from last week's 87 show. Remember with Chris?
Yes. Oh, it's always great to have him on the show.
Okay, everybody loved having Chris on the show, believe me. And we're going to have Chris back before a year goes by. We have plans. We have an actual plan.
Oh, cool.
To bring Chris back, I'm going to say later this year.
And of course, we'll see him at Dragon Con.
Chris is going to be at Dragon Con doing crazy, silly things. I can't wait. Anytime I'm not on stage doing something, I'm going to be wherever Chris is, watching whatever Chris is doing, because that's going to be good. But yeah, more of a sci-fi explosions, Chris, coming up. But meanwhile, I do have unfinished business, because I had a way to kind of tie it all together last week, and I completely forgot to bring it up. So it was our 87 show.
Yes.
It was our robot show. And we were talking about the Greg Hawks and Eddie Japan Music of the Cars concert that we went to.
Yes.
You were there, remember?
That was a fantastic show.
Yeah. But I mentioned that I saw the Cars in 1987.
Yes.
What I forgot to mention, and we joked about how the Cars, they just stand there on stage. They don't move. They don't talk to the audience. They just play their songs.
Right.
But there was an animated presence on stage. I forgot to mention, and I know I've mentioned it on the show before, but on that tour, the Cars had on stage a giant robot.
Wow.
It was the 87 robot show, and I forgot to mention the giant Cars 87 robot.
Now, did the robot move?
Yes.
Okay.
It was rolling around like it was big and tall. There was a guy inside it. You could kind of see a guy like driving the robot from deep in its belly.
Neat.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I wish I could have seen that. Is there YouTube footage of
that? You can probably
anywhere?
Catch some video of it here and there. I have seen some video of it. But yeah, some genius in the Cars organization must have said, we got to put something on stage for people to look at. Because these guys are standing there like mannequins.
Yeah.
So yes, my apologies that I totally forgot to mention the giant Cars 1987 robot on the episode where we talked about 87 and robots and the Cars.
Okay. Well, you know, these things, it was, you know, so much fun to have Chris on. I'm sure that, you know, things just get fall through the cracks sometimes.
I was out of my mind. So, all right, we're moving on now. We're moving on to 1988. That was a fun year. And we're going to talk music. Mostly. I did pull up a list of the movies from 1988.
Okay.
Because I thought, like, what were the top 10 movies of 88? But then I thought, who cares? I went to the bottom of the list. I have here the bottom 10 out of the top 100 of the year.
Like the bottom 10, like the worst rated, or?
As far as box office success, we have movies 91 through 100 here. So number 91 was Moving. That was a Richard Pryor movie.
I do not recall that one at all.
No memory of that.
Nope.
I didn't know he was still making movies in 1988. That's a very late era Richard Pryor movie. I go back to, you know, Superman 3.
I go back to Silver Streak.
Silver Streak. Sure. And what's the one? Oh, Brewster's Millions.
Yes.
He had to spend all the money. Yeah, I like that. Number 92, Iron Eagle 2.
That's sort of like a helicopter?
Yeah, that was sort of in the wake of Top Gun. Mm-hmm. They were like, let's crank out a whole bunch of these Iron Eagle movies. But that was with Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I believe he's in the sequel. I know he's in the first one. Mm-hmm. I think he's in part two.
Well, I'm very fond of Louis Gossett
Jr. Oh, he's great. I saw him speak down at Dragon Con a couple of years ago. It was the only thing I went to that I wasn't on. Only thing I did 2 years ago at Dragon Con was, I'm going to go see Lou Gossett Jr. This is crazy.
I regret missing that.
Lou Gossett Jr. is here. Number 93 is Shakedown. That's some sort of action crime thriller thing with Peter Weller. You know RoboCop?
Yeah.
From last week's show. Mm-hmm. It's Peter Weller and Sam Elliott. Shakedown.
That's weird.
I don't think they even used the Bob Seger song. That's from a different movie. This is something else. Number 94, The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Now, that is a movie that I saw and that I like very much.
I've never seen that. I know the name. I remember that being the name of something, but I did not see that.
It had Daniel Day-Lewis and Juliette Binoche. I liked the movie, but then I read the book, which I liked even more. And I read a couple other books by that author, Milan Kundera.
Ah, at least I know the name of that one. 95, Hope and Glory. You know that one?
That sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
See, I'm looking at the poster. There's a kid running. It looks like in the war. Bill, a young boy living on the outskirts of London, experiences the exhilaration of World War II. Oh, man, I'm not going to watch that. That was Hope and Glory. Number 96, Bad Dreams. This looks like some kind of horror thing.
Yeah.
Suicide cult, psychiatric ward. No, thanks. Who knows? Maybe it's super cool. Number 97, Return of the Living Dead 2.
Wait, how can you have a returning 2?
They just kept returning.
Now, the original Night of the Living Dead
is
very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some of those Living Dead movies are quite good. I'm not familiar with this one, Return of the Living Dead 2. 98, Switching Channels. That was like a comedy about TV news people. That was Burt Reynolds. It was Kathleen Turner and Christopher Reeve. I didn't see that.
That's interesting. No, I don't think I saw that either.
Nobody saw that. That's why it's at number 98 for the year. 99 is something called Salsa. It looks like it's just a salsa dancing movie.
Was that the height of salsa dancing?
In 88, we were a nation possessed by salsa dancing. Yes, it's all we cared about. This was several years before the Lambada. Remember, they made all those Lambada movies.
Yes.
In the 90s. That was a problem. And finally, number 100. I think this is the only movie of this list, movies 91 through 100. Movie number 100, I did actually see in a movie theater in 1988 on my own in Boston. I went to see this movie. It's number 100. It's Michael Keaton's Clean and Sober.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that movie. Yeah. I didn't see it, but I'm surprised that it was so low.
I'm shocked that it's this deep down on the list, but it came in behind Salsa.
Wow. I mean, Michael Keaton's a popular actor at this time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the year before Batman, but it's also the year of or just after Beetlejuice. He was a huge star, and it was a really good movie.
Uh-huh.
It was just Michael Keaton as a drug addict.
Yeah.
It's drug addict Michael Keaton. It was fine. A well-done movie. I enjoyed it. I went to one of those little theaters in Boston that's not there anymore to see it. The Sherry, perhaps.
Oh, I like the Sherry.
Well, those are your bottom 10 movies out of the top 100 of the year. Just to mix it up. So those are the movies nobody ever talks about when they do a list like this. We're switching things up. Number one for the year was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
In case anyone
that makes sense.
Can't stand it and needs to know. There you go. So a little bit of quick movie talk. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about, though, for this little quickie fill-in 1988 show is music from 1988. And specifically, I was thinking about Great Woods. And Great Woods was like the big outdoor concert pavilion concert venue, which opened up in Massachusetts in the mid-80s. I think they opened in 86 or 87, so still a very new venue at this point.
Yeah, I don't think that I actually ever went to Great Woods until the 90s.
Yeah, I was thinking about it for 88 because this is the year I first went to Great Woods.
Oh, cool.
I did indeed go there in 1988. And I've been looking lately online. I've been coming across a lot of like old newspaper ads for concert venues and concert series of the 80s and 90s and even 70s sometimes. And it's fascinating just looking at, like, these would have been like newspaper ads for all concert venues all over the country. I've come across a whole bunch of them and they're really fun to look at. And I found a couple for Great Woods, but Not for this year. I didn't find one of the old ads. Like, there'd be a big full-page ad, like in the Boston Phoenix or in the Boston Globe.
Sure.
Big ad and the little pictures of all the bands that were coming over the course of the summer.
Oh, yeah. I can totally picture that.
Yeah. You know those with the tree, like the Great Woods logo with the trees in it.
I'm not sure. I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'd know it if you saw it.
Yeah. Probably.
And, the venue still exists, but it's gone through 18 different name changes. It's always named after one bank or another.
Yeah, I've lost track of what it's called.
Yeah.
We've been there several times.
It's just Great Woods to me. Yeah, last time we were there, it's been several years. The last time we were there was for Heart and Joan Jett and Cheap Trick.
Yes, that was a good show.
That was several years ago.
Yeah, that was after Lionel Richie?
That was after Lionel Richie, yeah. Before that, I think it would have been Lionel Richie.
That was a fantastic show.
Yes, and then before that, for me, I think I go all the way back to 2000 to REO Speedwagon and Styx and Eddie Money. So I think I've been there in the 2000s, I've been there three times. But back in the late 80s and certainly all through the 90s, I went to Great Woods all the time. And yeah, it's outdoors, but with sort of a seated covered front section.
Mm-hmm.
And then at first it was a lawn in the back section, this kind of big sloped hill.
I still think of it as the lawn.
Everybody would stand on the lawn. And then eventually like the lawn got trashed and they tried using the wood chips for a while. It was just a field of wood chips, I think.
Oh, wow.
I don't think that was not an improvement. Yes, it was sand at one point.
I think I went there when it was sand.
They kept switching it up, and I believe eventually they just put seats in. So now it's uncovered seating in what used to just be the lawn. But yeah, in 88, it was just a lawn, which was fine. And I believe 88 was the only time I was ever on the lawn. Every other time I had an actual seat in the close-up covered front part.
Yeah, I believe when I went in the 90s with my sister that we were on the lawn, quote-unquote lawn, and it was possibly sand at that
point. Sand, yeah. They tried to make it like going to the beach. But it must have just been ridiculous.
It wasn't bad, but I prefer having a covered seat, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But 88, I'm on the lawn, and so I couldn't find an ad for Great Woods from 88, but I did find just a schedule online somewhere. So I've got assuming this is correct, who knows? But if we're to assume that this is the actual correct list, then I have the 1988 Great Woods lineup, Mansfield, Massachusetts, kind of down near where the Patriots play in Foxborough, a couple of towns away, I think, that way.
Isn't that the town where we first met in person?
Ooh, I think it is. That's right. Ooh. Sponge Awareness Concert. Sponge Awareness did a show in Mansfield, not at Great Woods. We never got booked into the 20,000 person capacity giant outdoor concert pavilion.
Not even on the second or third stage at Lilith Fair.
Oh, we really wanted to play Lilith Fair. I did go to Lilith Fair at Great Woods.
I did as well.
Yeah, but you different ones though.
I went to the first one at Great Woods and the second one in Hartford.
Okay, I went to the third one. See how we
covered all
that?
Three of them.
We covered it. Got it done.
Before we met.
It was just me and all the girls. The Lilith people. Well, let's roll back to 1988. And this is a big, crazy list of, like, it's a lot of classic rock and then more contemporary top 40 acts.
Sure.
So let's just go through the list, see what we like, see what we would have liked to have been at, we can't stand. Yeah. Let's just see what's going on. So again, assuming that this is a correct, complete list, the 88 concert series at Great Woods started on May 20th with Robert Plant.
Hmm.
That'd be the Led Zeppelin dude.
Yeah, is that when he had like his solo?
Yeah, he had a big hits in that era.
Yeah. Yeah,
Toll Cole one.
Yeah, I like that the Heaven album that Knows, that comes off of. Yeah.
The Now and Zen album.
Now and Zen.
Yeah, Tall Cool One and Heaven Knows were big hits for Robert Plant, so he was doing well in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
This is Robert Plant, as well as opening, I assume, was Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble.
Oh, wow. That was probably a pretty good show.
A fine, fine lineup, sure, to kick off the season. I wasn't there.
No.
I've never seen Robert Plant. He's still creeping around, though. We were out at Tanglewood a couple of months ago to see Elvis Costello, and I believe Robert Plant was there the next night.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember.
Still out there. The next show on this list is, this is a cool show. It's Depeche Mode with opening act OMD.
Oh, that would have been fun.
That's a good show.
That's a great pairing.
Depeche Mode, I really didn't pay any attention to back in the day. I was vaguely aware that they were out there doing their thing, and I just didn't care. And now, like, wow, they were cool.
Yeah.
Man, I got to get caught up on Depeche Mode.
Yeah, I kind of slept on Depeche Mode as well, but
I was more familiar with OMD and their 2.5 hit songs.
Yeah.
From the John Hughes movies. We've got two nights after that. Two nights for the Beach Boys with Roy Orbison.
Well, I would like to see Roy Orbison.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer Orbison to Beach Boys.
Yeah, he. I mean, what year did he pass away?
Oh, not long after this.
That was late in his
sure.
career.
Yeah, he had a nice late 80s renaissance.
Yeah.
His solo stuff and with the Wilburys, of course.
Yes.
And yeah, look at that. He's out with the Beach Boys. Yeah, I assume Roy went on first and then Beach Boys. And Beach Boys are still out there.
Sure.
Of course, some of them. Next, we have some prog rock, some flute-fueled prog rock from Jethro Tull.
At the time, I would have liked to see Jethro Tull because I was really into classic rock. Nowadays, I don't know.
Never got into Jethro Tull. And I like flutes. I used to play the flute. Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy anytime I hear a flute in anything. You've seen me get all excited and freak out if there's a flute in something.
Yeah. I do like some Jethro Tull. So some of their maybe like lesser known songs.
Well, there they were, Jethro Tull. I certainly was not there. Next, there's something called Jazz Explosion. And there's a whole bunch of, that's just like the blanket name for a whole bunch of acts, I think. But this looks like it's headlined by Santana.
Oh, that's interesting.
Doesn't really scream jazz to me, but there they are, headlining. It's Santana, it's Herbie Hancock.
Mm.
That's cool. Chick Corea.
Oh, yeah, I knew Chick Corea.
And then a bunch of other guys I've never heard of.
Yeah, I'm not really, I mean, I like Santana, but I'm not really a jazz person at all.
We certainly were not at that one. The Jazz Explosion.
I'd prefer a sci-fi explosion.
Yeah, let's tell Chris he should pivot to doing a jazz explosion show, see how that would go. Up next, we have a Massachusetts institution, James Taylor.
Yes.
He would. I'm surprised he's only doing one show here. Eventually, he would do two or three shows a year at Great Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
All through the 90s. Yeah,
definitely.
He would fill that place multiple times. And he still does that up out at Tanglewood.
Sure, yeah. He's basically a fixture at Tanglewood.
Yeah, he'll do a couple of shows out there, Western Mass, where the Boston Pops play. He'll fill that place up a couple of times.
Yeah, my mom really liked James Taylor, so we had his albums playing in the house
sometimes.
How can
you not like James Taylor? I worked with his brother.
Yes, I recall.
My biggest claim to fame, arguably. I ran sound for Livingston Taylor. Although I think last time we mentioned this, then I got a note from our friend Kevin Cafferty, who it turns out has also run sound for Livingston Taylor.
Oh, you're not even, it's not special anymore.
It's possible everybody listening.
Everybody even named Kevin.
Every Kevin within earshot has run sound at a Livingston Taylor concert. Look at us all. Some hair metal up next. This is fun. It's a Great White opening for Whitesnake.
Oh, no, I would not have enjoyed that.
Where was White Lion?
Great White Lion Snake.
That should have been a triple bill.
Hannah, my sister would have liked that.
Sure.
She was too young at the time. But,
Yeah. Hannah enjoys the hair metal. And you know what? So do I. I'll bet I would have enjoyed that.
White Snake is just, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, they were a little rough. The White Snake, Great White combo. Yikes. The hair metal just kept rolling because the next concert on the Great Woods list is Def Leppard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was peak Def Leppard.
Absolutely.
This is the Hysteria
album.
What a monster record.
Yeah, I was not a fan of them at the time. I appreciate them a little bit more in retrospect.
Yeah. They did some good stuff. They're very good. But this is Def Leppard opening act, even more hair metal. As hair metal as you can get, Europe.
Oh, yeah.
It's the final countdown.
Yeah. Yeah, I never hear about them anymore.
And you know, I've said in the past on the show, anytime Europe comes up, I point out the guy from Europe out Bon Jovi'd Bon Jovi with his hair.
Yes.
That guy had the perfect Bon Jovi hair going, even more so than John Bon Jovi. And yet no one even knows his name. He's the guy from Europe.
Oops. Yeah.
It's the final countdown. Next we have Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, well, I wish that I had seen them at some point in my life.
I did see them at one point, but it was weird. I saw them. I went to Late Night with David Letterman just to attend a taping of Letterman, and they were the music act that night. This was a couple years after this. This would have been like 91, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I regret not seeing them because that was also something a band that I grew up on.
I saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash come out in front of Paul Schaefer and the band. They mm-hmm. came out. They did their one song. They turned around and left.
Yep.
I saw them for 6 minutes.
What song did they do?
It was something that nobody knew. It was like it was like their new song in 1991, I think. They didn't do one of the old classics. I remember Dave saying after they left, he was talking to Paul like after the commercial break, and Dave said something like, well, you hear the name Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and you think, oh, that's nice. And then they come out, and it's those guys. And I kind of know what he meant.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And Paul agreed, and he said they sound just like themselves. Next is Brian Ferry.
That's
Roxy Music dude. Music.
Yeah. I kind of like, again, at the time, I wouldn't have been that familiar with them, but I've kind of gotten into that.
Yeah,
that
I still haven't gotten on board with Roxy Music. I'm sure they're fine. Mm-hmm. I still have never paid any attention to them or Brian Ferry. But look at that. I didn't realize he was big enough in 88 to headline this giant concert venue.
Yeah, that is surprising.
There he is. Okay, now we've arrived at me.
The concert you went to.
Rolling into Great Woods for the very first time. I'm not sure what night I was there, because apparently they did two nights, August 9th and August 10th, 1988. I was there one of these two nights, but this was In Excess.
I really regret not seeing In Excess. And I would have, at the time, I would have enjoyed that.
This is real In Excess with Michael Hutchence, who was amazing. What a front man.
Yeah.
One of the great front men, I think. People don't realize how that guy could command a stage. They were incredible. I mean, that was my first time at this venue, so it was cool just being there. Me and my goofy friends all went stumbling into Great Woods up to the lawn.
Why didn't you invite me?
You should have been there to see In Excess. Opening act, of course, Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers.
Which was one of several times you'd see Ziggy Marley, right?
You know how I feel about reggae.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
It's a problem. And yet, yes, I saw Ziggy Marley at Great Woods 3 times.
Oh my gosh.
Over the years. They kept sticking Ziggy Marley into shows I wanted to go to at Great Woods. I sat through 3 Ziggy Marley sets over the course of the late 80s through the 90s. Yes, I mean, he's fine. They're very good at what they do. It's not for me, but In Excess, fantastic. This was when the Kick album was out.
That's what a fantastic album. All Killer, No Filler.
Yeah. Every song. Excellent on that Kick record. They did virtually the entire Kick album, I think, plus all the earlier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. There's me making my Great Woods debut. I got a few more left to go through. The next show up was Sting.
Yeah, I go back and forth on Sting. There's been times that I've liked him and times when I just get really, really sick of him.
This was the Nothing Like the Sun era.
I like the Dream of the Blue Turtles album.
Oh,
that's probably
the
my
first Sting solo record is solid. Yeah, that's good. There's some cool stuff on that. That's the only Sting solo record I ever got into.
Mm-hmm.
Dream of the Blue Turtles, because I dream of Blue Turtles constantly.
Yeah,
you know that. I wake up screaming sometimes. They're all over me. Next, this is a cool one. Up next, George Michael.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would have liked to see George Michael back in the day. That would have been the Faith album.
We talked about how like Def Leppard was so massive at this point. George Michael.
That's another album where every track is good.
What a heap of hit songs that record was, one after another. Yes. We just watched the Wham! Documentary.
Yeah, that's a fantastic documentary.
That was fun. Not a George Michael documentary, although I think there is one.
There is one on another streaming channel that I want to get around to.
The new one, it's just about Wham! And yeah, it was really fun.
They had an amazing amount of footage and media from that time, and it was great.
Ton of early video of George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley running around. Like they went to high school together, so they knew each other from when they were kids. Yeah, very, very fun documentary. Check it out. Learn a little something about Wham, won't you? And the girls, there were girls in the band early on.
I know, I didn't even know that.
I remember that. I remember seeing them on American Bandstand, and they were like on equal footing. It was like, here's George, here's Andrew, here's these girls, we're Wham. But here's George Michael. Out on his own, going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame later this year.
That's
be
great.
Cool.
It's just too bad he's no longer around.
Absolutely, but that'll be lovely. Up next, this was another two-night stand. This I remember this tour going around. I didn't go to it, but this was Aerosmith with the opening act Guns N' Roses.
Weird.
So this was Guns N' Roses on the rise.
Yeah,
they were in the process of becoming the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
And it happened while they were on tour, and they kind of, I think, maybe even superseded Aerosmith. As the tour rolled along, like the wrong band was opening.
That's really interesting timing.
Yeah, people were just going out of their minds over Guns N' Roses by 88.
Yeah, Aerosmith was kind of old hat a little bit.
Sure.
They had more of a resurgence later.
Oh, yeah. They were huge.
Yeah, yeah.
In the late 80s as well. This was the...
And they're Boston band.
This was the Dude Looks Like a Lady era. Yeah.
Actually, hate that song, but I do generally like Aerosmith.
Oh,
I like some
sure.
of their earlier stuff better.
They just announced their what they're calling their final tour is happening soon.
We'll see. A lot of people do final tours, and then they do another final tour a few years later.
Even Guns N' Roses, they're still touring.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But this would have been a fine night of hard rock.
Yeah.
For the rock kids, go see Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses. I got a few left. Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, I don't think I regret never seeing Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah. Not a Southern rock guy. That was two nights for Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mm. Wow. Followed by Neil Young. This was Neil Young in the Blue Notes. I remember that.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I'm just not a fan of Neil Young.
No, I could never get past the weird voice and the weird songs.
Yeah.
Kind of whiny.
I mean, I like some of the stuff he did with, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not as a solo artist at all.
People love Neil Young. I feel like I'm missing something. We're into September now. Two nights. I'm surprised by this. This was a two-night stand for Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh.
Wow.
What was the height of their sports album?
Sports was a few years before this.
Okay.
That was really I feel like their biggest commercial era was mid-80s, mm-hmm. and they were kind of starting to slide down by this time. The Small World album.
Yeah, two nights might have been stretching it at this point.
I'm guessing these were not sellouts, but I'm sure they were fine shows. We went to a Huey Lewis and the News show.
Yeah, that was a
smaller venue.
That was really good.
Harbor Lights in Boston. We went a few years back to see Huey Lewis. That was really good. The Stompers were opening just to make Cornflake jealous. She loves the Stompers.
Yes.
And Huey, that was they were touring like to celebrate the whatever anniversary of sports.
Yeah.
So that show they opened by doing the whole sports album. Practically a greatest hits album anyway. up next was Santana. Wasn't Santana there earlier as part of the jazz explosion?
Yes.
They must have realized that night. Why are we here with the jazz explosion?
Yes.
Come back and do our own show.
Yeah.
There they are.
I mean, I like some Santana. I don't know that I would go see them in concert.
Yeah, I certainly would not. They're fine. They're fine. Everybody go see Santana. I'm good. Here's a favorite of ours, though, up next. Pat Benatar.
Yes.
Pat. We saw Pat a few years back.
Yes.
What a cool show that was. That was at Harbor Lights. Not Great Lights, but the smaller outdoor venue, Harbor Lights.
That was Pat Benatar and Blondie.
Pat Benatar, Blondie, double headliner show.
Fantastic.
With the opener, remember?
The Donnas.
The Donnas.
That's a great all-female band.
Super cool show. Yes. This just says Pat Benatar, so this would have been before she stuck her husband's name onto the act.
Yeah.
Because now it's always Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo.
Yep.
Giraldo? I can never remember.
I think it's Giraldo.
Okay. Yes. I mean, he's great. He's fine.
Yeah.
Fantastic guitarist and a huge part of her career. I never got used to the billing, though.
Right.
Because, come on, it's Pat Benatar. That's who the people want to see. And I saw her one other time at a book signing.
Oh, yeah.
A horrifying, chaotic, insanely crowded. I think there were more people at the book signing than were at Great Woods at this night 1988.
Yeah.
Yes, I did meet her very briefly at a crazy book signing. She was lovely. I read her autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an expert if you have any questions about Pat Benatar. Eric Clapton.
Yeah,
he's
I would
next.
See
actually,
him.
This is the end. This is the end. The season ended with two nights by Eric Clapton.
I saw him just a couple years later out in Cleveland, out in Ohio when I was at school there.
That's appropriate because he's that's where the Hall of Fame is located.
Yeah.
And he is the only three-time, thrice-inducted member of the Hall of Fame.
So with the Yardbirds and Cream and Solo.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people that have been in twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Clapton's the only guy in three times.
Yeah.
And you saw him in Cleveland.
I saw him in Cleveland.
Cool.
Yeah, I used to like him. I was really in my Eric Clapton phase in my early college years. So.
I haven't entered that phase yet, but it's coming. You know it's coming one of these days. Mark Knopfler was there also. It's Eric Clapton, also Mark Knopfler, the Dire Straits dude.
Yeah, so he was solo opening.
And Buckwheat Zydeco.
I know that name, yeah. But I have, is that like a rockabilly?
I don't
act?
Know what that is. It's Buckwheat Zydeco.
All right. I'm going to have to do some research on that. It sounds familiar.
I just, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know that name. Don't know anything about him or her or them. But that is your 1988 Great Woods concert season.
All right.
There. I only showed up the one night.
Yeah. There were definitely a handful of shows I would have liked to go to.
Yeah. It's fun going through schedules like this.
Yeah.
And again, you see those old newspaper ads. Very, very fun. Kind of like when you see like old the movie theater ads.
I used to,
newspapers.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I used to look at those every week. I mean, we would go to a lot. All my life, I would go to the movies a lot.
Oh, sure. But those ads, like you see like a scan of a newspaper, the movie section from 1986 or 87 or whatever, and you can't believe the lineup of movies that you could go to that night.
Mm-hmm.
You probably couldn't go see Clean and Sober because it was the least popular movie of the year.
Right.
But you could go see Roger Rabbit. Those are fun. All right. Well, there's a little flashback to the concerts of 1988, and we want to keep this short, so we better stop. Do you know how to do Cornflakes wrap-up thing?
I do, I think. We are at flopcast.net. That's where you can find all of our show notes. You can find us on iTunes and leave us a rating and or a review there. We're at facebook.com/flopcast, Instagram at @_flopcast, and Mastodon.
Here's the one I could never possibly do.
Well, that's, yeah. Mastodon, we're at the server universodon.com/flopcast.
How are we doing over at Mastodon? I've never been there. You're in charge of our Mastodon.
Yeah,
account.
there are a handful of people we know.
Are we the number one thing on Mastodon?
Probably.
We've gone viral?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Good. I know we're huge on Instagram. I checked our Instagram numbers earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Over 200 followers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's more than I personally have,
that's
I think.
That's got to be the most popular account on Instagram, the _flopcast. And, oh, who provided our theme music?
Oh, our theme music is provided by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Who never performed at Great Woods, as said, but yes, we did indeed perform in the Great Woods town of Mansfield, Massachusetts, until the local villagers chased us away with torches and pitchforks.
Yep.
You know how it goes. Well, the mayor of Chickentown, Felicity, thanks for filling in for the vacation in Cornflake.
Oh, it was a pleasure and fun to go back to the 80s with you.
She's out hammocking somewhere. 89. Next time, we're going to wrap up the best decade ever. Meanwhile, everybody, please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
After a long wait, new Doctor Who is on its way. We're gearing up to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the show with a brand new Doctor. Let's welcome Shuti Gatwa as the 14th Doctor.
No. Shuti is the 15th Doctor. David Tennant is the 14th Doctor.
Wait. I thought David Tennant was the 10th Doctor. Okay, I'm confused.
Confused? Well, your friends here at the Earth Station Who podcast are here to help you through all your Doctor Who questions. Check us out wherever fine podcasts are found.
It's the secret after show, and we have a secret plug.
A secret plug.
The mayor, you were on another show recently.
Yes. Earth Station 1, the mothership, did a Barbie movie review. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to record with them that night, but I did a little recording of my own, giving a Barbie collector's perspective on the movie.
You are the resident Barbie expert of the ESO network.
So yeah, I'm the resident Barbie expert of a lot of places.
They had to have you on the Earth Station 1 Barbie movie review episode. So I'm glad you made a special report, filed and they inserted into the show.
They had a good discussion too. The timing didn't work out for me, but
I listened to that show.
Yeah, we had seen the movie and enjoyed it a lot. I just saw it a second time.
It's great. I've seen it once. But it was great. I liked all the dolls and such.
It was very enjoyable.
They should have included Pulsar.
Pulsar.
Remember Pulsar?
Yes. That's also, he was from Mattel, right?
Yeah.
Pulsar and Hypnos.
Pulsar and Hypnos. Pulsar is the big, freaky action figure guy, and his torso is see-through, and you can watch his heart and lungs pumping. Why wasn't that in the Barbie movie?
I don't know.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.